T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mike's on. He's ready to go.
On the Fan.
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on. Mike's on.
He'll get you the sports any way that he can. It's Mike Francesa.
Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN.
All right, we're here for a Thursday show on Radio Row. The reason I opened it up that way is I was just reading something as the show started, but here we are as we begin our program on the Fan and on the Mics On app, as we have a busy show for you. But it's going to begin with basketball because Woj just, I guess, broke a story. What else is new? I mean, Woj breaks every NBA story. But that Porzingis has voiced his displeasure with the Knicks. And they had a meeting and have had, a series of conversations. And Porzingis has become increasingly unhappy and frustrated with the losing, and feels he might not be best suited coming back with the Knicks. And the feeling is that there is increasing tension on both sides that could culminate with the Knicks trading. And this might not just be for Anthony Davis, but also maybe trading Porzingis somewhere else. So I'm not for. I am diametrically opposed to the Knicks trading their pick. Diametrically opposed. If they can get Anthony Davis for Porzingis, which I don't think they can, I would do it. I particularly have told you that this is no knock on Anthony Davis. I don't want to build a team around him. I've already told you that. That's not what I would prefer to do. But would I take him for Porzingis straight up? You're not going to get that deal. There's no way New Orleans is going to trade for a hurt, disgruntled player and then trade away their franchise player for that. It's not happening. Would I give up the pick? And Porzingis, absolutely not. I would not do that. If the Knicks do that, they're back to being dumber than dumb again. That's a big mistake. Now, the question now that's opened up by Woj's report is, are the Knicks and Porzingis at a place where the bottom line is the Knicks are going to try and actively trade Porzingis somewhere else in the league, and maybe even not in the Davis trade, just trade him anyway, because he's there unhappy with him and he's unhappy with them. So that's where we are right now. I don't have anything on it. I'm going to try and pop Ira up and see what he has, see what else is going on. And the Knicks made some comments. First and foremost, Porzingis is a special and unique talent, Perry said after the decision. This is older. This is a quote, but it's not a new one. Let me see if there's any new quotes. Not yet. Porzingis, according to reports and his agent, Giannis, met with the Knicks on Thursday morning and discussed his frustration with the losing. And I guess their relationship has been worsening. And he evidently thinks it may be better if he doesn't stay. The Knicks medical staff evaluated Porzingis earlier this month and said that his knee was healing well. He recently worked out on the court for 45 minutes with workouts that included dunking the ball and shooting threes. Mills said the decision for Porzingis to return will be up to both the player and the team. Well, that's obvious. This is a mutual process. It's got to be a mutual agreement. All right. So we don't know where they are. This is obviously the story that is breaking right now. And it looks like Porzingis may be very unhappy with the Knicks, and maybe the Knicks are growing unhappy with him. Again, how does this play into the whole Davis thing? Well, number one, if you can get Porzingis in a deal that does not include the number one pick and bring back Davis, I do it. Would I do a deal that included the pick? I would not. Repeat, would not do the deal. Porzingis and the pick is not happening. It would not happen for me. I would not make the deal. So basically, that's where we are on this. This is just starting to burgeon. And let's be honest, this whole Knick thing this year, and we all know the guys running the Knicks are good guys. No one's saying they're not. But I don't care. This is not the design you wanted out of this season. You did not want to have a lousy relationship with Porzingis and have a team that's just an absolute joke on the court. And that's what they've become. I mean, they aren't even modestly competitive. I mean, they are just awful. I mean, and in games where they give you a good half, you know they're going down in the third and fourth quarters. It happens every single time. Even in Charlotte the other night, where they had the game tied after three quarters, they wind up losing the game by double digits. Oh, they lost it by nine. They were down 14 with a minute to play. I mean, they are just a dreadful, dreadful team. So if there's anything more on Porzingis, if we can grab Ira, I know it's on short notice, we'll try and pop him up, see if he has anything. This is just breaking as we speak. We got a busy show for you today, obviously, here on Radio Row, as we take you through a Thursday program. It's gotten a lot busier here today as far as people. I don't know about how much busier it's gotten. I mean, there were players, it's a pretty steady stream of players and coaches yesterday. It's a pretty steady stream today, but there's a lot more fans here. You can tell it's starting to get busy here, as you know, the other day was quiet now because we're right near the walkway and it's starting to get very crowded as people walk by. What did you say?
Ira.
Oh, Ira, we got Ira. All right, Ira, I'm open to show. First of all, Ira, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. Glad to be back with you.
Nice to talk to you. Good to have you back with us. Number one, and you can get Ira on the Mike's On app. He'll be on there three times a week. He's already on. I know a lot of you have reacted favorably to having him with us. We've already heard that. That's why I extended him from twice to three times a week, because the reaction's been very strong to Ira coming back on the app with me. And I'll use him on the fan when I need him. Ira, Woj broke a story about Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
We know there was a meeting now and been conversations. Porzingis has told the Knicks about his unhappiness and his worries. There is clearly, we've checked, and there's at least I got from someone already, that definitely tension between his camp and the Knicks camp. Anything you can add to it about what's going on? I am not for them trading Porzingis and the pick for Davis. I do not want that deal if I'm the Knicks. Would I take it? I don't think you can get Davis without Porzingis plus. So I don't, you know, if you can get him for Porzingis, fine. But now we open up the idea of maybe them trading Porzingis somewhere else and not for Davis. Even if Davis goes somewhere else, what can you add if you know anything about the Porzingis thing?
Yeah, well, you know, Mike, I was in New York over the weekend. I had a chance to talk to Coach Fizdale and everything going on there. And this is the fine line you take when you play the tanking game, because let's face it, Mike, you have to be awful to be in the running for Zion Williamson. Well, if you're awful, for a player who's sitting on the sideline and he sees what he sees, just like everyone in New York is seeing, you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel with this team. Kevin Knox has, I don't want to say regressed, but sort of hit that rookie wall right now. There's not a lot else out there. They don't want to play Cantor because they might accidentally win a game or two. This is what you set yourself up for. But the problem all along has been is that the Porzingis camp, everyone was, oh, it's a Phil Jackson thing. Once he's gone, it'll be over and everything will be better. And they've never reached sort of the peace with Porzingis. I said this when I was at the Garden on Sunday. I think the Knicks are wonderfully set up for the future. That you get a Porzingis who's out. Remember, this reminds us of the Spurs. When David Robinson was injured, they had the bad year. They were able to get Tim Duncan, and all of a sudden they zoomed right up. The Knicks have three elements in their favor. They have a player who's out, so you can have a bad record of Porzingis, who's an all-star. They have the salary cap space to add an A-list free agent, and they have a obviously their draft position to add someone like a Williams or at least a top five pick. I think they're very well positioned, but this is the toxic nature of tanking in all of sports. When you're a Porzingis and you turn on your TV and you show up at the Garden and you see it going nowhere, you worry about the culture. This is where David Fizdale was supposed to step in and nip it in the bud and be the face of the franchise. And I think the fact that the Cantor thing has played out the way it's played out, that there's been other sort of, you know, complaining about where it's going, that he mentioned Tim Hardaway Jr.'s salary. There was no reason for that. I just don't think this has been managed very well. I think the Garden thought once Phil Jackson was gone, this would end. It didn't.
I tell you, they've done it. I trusted Fizdale that he would be a breath of fresh air. They've been a laughing stock. And not only that, they haven't handled the losing well. They haven't handled the players off the bench well. The guys, the veterans on the bench know that what's going on here. They've treated Cantor terribly. They're absolutely right. Early in the year, Hardaway was given effort. I don't like Hardaway, but at least he was given effort. And Cantor gave you effort every single game. The guy deserves to play in the league. You know what? This has been badly conceived. And they've almost made stupid jokes out of it recently. Well, everybody knows what they're doing here. And it's actually gotten to be embarrassing. I know these guys are nice guys. I know them. They're nice guys. But the bottom line is they have handled this terribly. And it has turned toxic on them. And actually, it's become extremely embarrassing, the whole thing.
And Mike, I'll give you the perfect example. You know what the good teams do? They rid themselves of the problems. You might not have thought it was the best way to handle a human being, but what the Knicks did with Joakim Noah last year was they got rid of the problem. Think of the Rockets. Think of how Carmelo Anthony was just basically sent away. Look, you don't work. We don't need you grousing about playing time. Go on vacation. Look what the Chicago Bulls are doing right now. People forget Carmelo Anthony is on the Chicago Bulls roster. They've been decimated by injuries, but they sent him away. The Knicks should have seen this coming, should have agreed to a buyout with Cantor, should have done something with Lee, should have gotten rid of all this, and should have made it clear to the Porzingis camp that, look, I'll put this to you, Mike. Zion Williamson plus Kristaps Porzingis plus a top five pick, I would tell you that'll get you at least to the middle of the Eastern Conference next season. It's actually a good thing. It just hasn't played out very well, and that's created the doubts. I would trade probably half the teams in the Eastern Conference, their current situations, from the Hawks to the Bulls, honestly to the Heat even, if I could have a chance to have Porzingis, a top five pick, and an A-list free agent. And the Knicks are still in the running. But if they keep allowing these things to become issues, what free agent is going to want to be part of a mess? We said for years, oh, this is all Phil Jackson. Once Phil's out of here with his Zen foolishness, it'll come back. This had to be the year of a cleanup for the Knicks. And my gosh, it's turned into anything but that, right?
It has. And especially after earlier this week, there had been all this positive news that Durant is a very serious, that the Knicks are a very serious destination for Durant, that he's very serious about it. That's not a good sign.
And I spoke to someone in the NBA yesterday, and I said, I don't always know the answers here, so I spoke to someone who worked for a team, and I said, could Porzingis and Davis work together, two bigs like that in the shrinking league? And he told me absolutely, that it's almost the prototypic setup. They could both play out on the wing, they could post up, they could take care of the mismatch. Anthony Davis certainly can guard on the perimeter and has before. So if you were to trade Knox and you were to take a chance and give up that lottery pick, you could be well set anyway. This should have all been spelled out. But the problem was they never got rid of the toxic stench from what happened before. I think David Fizdale can be sort of headstrong. He reminds me of the people he worked with, including Eric Spoelstra.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you have to just acknowledge that this is sort of a gap year for your team. Get rid of the problems. God bless Enes Kanter, what he's done politically, some of the statements he made. But honestly, I hate the way this plays out in the NBA, unlike any other league. You can banish someone. As long as you pay a guy's salary in the NBA, you can just send him away. I don't think it's right. I think the Players Association should fight that. But Enes Kanter doesn't have to be at the Garden for every home game. They don't have to have this situation. They've allowed it to fester, and now you have the Porzingis thing. Mike, I don't care what they would get for Porzingis. It would absolutely set the plan on fire and blow it up. Again, if you have Porzingis, a top five pick, maybe a Zion Williamson, and an A-list free agent, and Kevin Knox, and what you have going forward, you would have been really well positioned. This is the lesson that the Knicks have to learn. Put the fire out on this immediately.
All right, what are you hearing about Davis around the league? I mean, Davis, we all know where he wants to go. How accommodating is New Orleans going to be? How upset is New Orleans about the way Davis handled it?
Well, you know what? If we're talking about incompetent franchises, I would put the Pelicans as number 1A today. I spoke to a general manager yesterday, and they said, am I missing something? Anthony Davis, and everyone's forgetting this, Mike, is under contract until June 2020. The Pelicans don't have to do a darn thing. They could play him the rest of the season. They could play him the first half of next season and trade him at the 2020 trading deadline. Look, Mike, if you're a winning franchise and you want to do right by a player, what's to stop the Pelicans from going out and making trades of their own? All of a sudden, they're 10 games over 500 next December. Maybe Anthony Davis doesn't see it as hopeless. Instead, this is another case of a team capitulating. I am shocked what the Pelicans did yesterday, taking Anthony Davis out of that pregame video.
Unbelievable. I didn't realize. You just taught me something. I didn't realize he was under contract for a year and a half.
And that's the thing. And he can do nothing about it. His opt out, his early termination clause, kicks in July 1, 2020.
Wow.
So the fact that you know what, and this is what happened, Mike. And you know this at all levels of work. If you can be manipulated as a business entity, it's never going to end well. So what this tells me is, if Anthony Davis can force the hand of the Pelicans, then the next guy can. Whether it's Drew Holiday, whether it's the next player who comes in there, whether it's DeMarcus Cousins or someone like that, that's the thing. If I'm the Pelicans, I'm saying, yeah, I'm sad you don't want to be here. I know you want to play with LeBron. Talk to me again next February. They could put this on hold for a year. Instead, they're getting manipulated by the whole situation. If I was them, I would say screw it and get the best possible deal, which will be the Celtics in the offseason. The Celtics have 4 first-round picks, including potentially the picks of the Grizzlies and the Kings coming up this June. They have Jaylen Brown. They have Jason Tatum. They have Rozier. They have the free agency issues there also of certain players. But you could get more than play the guy. This whole thing, they're afraid he's going to get injured, so you can't trade him. If you're going to operate in fear as a franchise, then you're another one of those franchises on the wrong side of the ledger.
Unbelievable. We're talking with Ira Windemann, of course, about what's going on with Porzingis. Now all the stuff with Anthony Davis. And this is the part that this league, I mean, listen, the league's done a good job of cultivating a lot of things for their star players. But the star players making their own teams and making these demands are unbelievable. They really are. All of a sudden, I'm done with the team. Goodbye.
Yeah, I put this on the app. I call it NBA pre-agency, PRE. I have no trouble with free agency. I think you'd agree the NBA deals with free agency as well as anyone.
Absolutely.
All of July and the summer. It's a whole off-season. It's like the hot stove we talked about baseball when we were growing up in the winter meetings. The NBA has managed that great. But let free agent run its course. When you become a free agent, then you could decide. Think of this. Kyrie Irving 2 years ago tells the Cavaliers, I'm going to have surgery and maybe miss the season unless you trade me. They capitulate. Paul George goes to the Pacers. Now, that was only 1 year ahead of time and says, I ain't resigning. Good for them. They got Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis, a candidate now for sixth man of the year. Now Anthony Davis, 18 months out. That's not fair to fans, Mike. It's not fair that
it's
if
not.
I look at my player and say, okay, this guy could become a free agent on July 1, 2020. I'll deal with it then. Instead, the agents have taken control. Players are saying what they aren't going to do. I know Adam Silver loves free agency, loves when people are buzzing about his league like they are right now. But you know what? Pre-free agency is not the right way to go, and it really sucks for the fans who own season tickets to New Orleans, and they're stuck in a situation like this right now.
How about the Celtics, Ira? You know, because we haven't really done an overview at all. The Celtics, where the pieces just don't seem to fit. And then what about this whole recanting from Kyrie Irving to LeBron James?
Well, first of all, I mean, remember, Mike, the big story at the start of the year was Kyrie, I'm definitely re-signing with Boston. So everyone in New York said, okay, we're not going to get him. And I said, that is way too early. I don't care what you tell me in September, October. Let's wait to the end of the season. Now, all of a sudden, Kyrie is looking and saying, wow, the Bucks with Giannis Antetokounmpo, and if Kawhi Leonard goes back, all this talk of you're better off in the East, the Celtics still might be third or fourth best, depending what Philadelphia does. So you can tell he's a little bit unhappy there also with the younger players. You always sort of get that second-year sophomore slump, whether it's Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, who's really struggled most of the season.
Tatum has really struggled,
Yeah, what it shows is all these players want to leave their options open. Kyrie wants his options open. He said he was coming back. Now maybe not so much. Now maybe he can go join LeBron if he doesn't get a Vader or a second alpha there also. That's the problem with the NBA is, wait a minute, you have a contract, you're under contract for this amount of years, and you're already talking about where else you want to go. And the silliness is this, Mike. The NBA maximum fine without arbitration for demanding a trade, like they fined Anthony Davis, is $50,000. You have to understand this, and it's mind-blowing. Anthony Davis, over his career, with his next contract, will earn at least $500 million. When you put that together and you say the maximum fine is $50,000, heck, I would manipulate the situation also for, what is that, 1/100th of a percent of my salary?
That, you know, it really is unbelievable. And it's funny because he was so adamant before about what was going to happen, you know, who we liked, who we didn't like, and everything else. That's a wild one there. And you're right, that team, you know, less is more, or more is less with that team this year, where they thought they just had too many players. Haywood hasn't healed, and Tatum has been an issue. And I tell you, the Bucks have a legitimately good team, not just because of the freak. Their other players are pretty good. I mean, Brogdon's a good player. I mean, they got some very good players on that team.
When you establish a team with a hierarchy, this is your star, this is who we're building around, that's exactly what the Bucks have done. Giannis Antetokounmpo is the clear star. Then we're going to have these other guys around him. For every Warriors team with four or five stars, that's the anomaly, that's the exception in sports. It's when you craft a team around someone, and Mike, that's the issue right now in Philadelphia. We all know that, I think we'd agree, Joel Embiid is the man. But Ben Simmons wants to be the man. And Jimmy Butler has never signed on to be the third man anywhere, which was the issue in Minnesota with Karl Anthony Towns, and then Wiggins struggled. When you build a team, you really need to do it piece by piece. The Bucks have been able to do that because they've had these different times where they've augmented sort of incrementally. Okay, we have Middleton now. Now we draft Brogdon. He fits in. Now we make the Bledsoe trade. He fits in. And if someone doesn't fit in like Thon Maker, you move him on. That's how teams used to been built incrementally. That's where the Knicks are now. They're an incremental team I believe could have been on the rise, but it just shows you there's so many ancillary parts to the equation as well.
Ridiculous. How about, what do you think the Davis outcome is? You think it's L.A. or who do you think there's other teams in play?
Right now they're talking to the Lakers, and the Lakers, there have been reports already. The Lakers, the L.A. Times just reported the Lakers have made 5 offers. And I always say this, when you've made 5 different permutations, that means you know you don't have a definitive, here's our offer, take or to leave it. I think it would be a horrible business decision for the Pelicans to one trade within the conference and to capitulate in a situation like this. If I'm New Orleans, I am waiting on the Celtics. They cannot trade for him now as long as they have Kyrie Irving on his current contract. Because of the Supermax rules, I'm not going to get into that, but they just can't do this deal until July. I think they should wait. But you know what, Mike? You've seen this in every sport. When you have crappy, misguided management, you never know what's going to happen. I think they should wait, but they've already been put into a corner embarrassingly, and I think it's bad for the franchise. Remember this. Remember when David Stern had stewardship of the Pelicans, when they had a bankrupt owner, and he stepped in, and he said no, remember the Chris Paul trade, and he blocked them from making the trade that they wanted to make originally with the Lakers? I know Adam Silver, it's not the same situation, but this manipulation like this can't continue. It shouldn't be a case where a guy has 18 months on his contract, and all of a sudden they're manipulating the way they are.
All right, Ira, good stuff. We'll chat again. Thank you very much. One thing, let me ask you one thing before you leave. Winslow has found a home at the Point. Has he been really good there, or is he not? Has he been over? Maybe not as good as I've heard he's been, or has he really been good there?
No, he's been really good, Mike. When he was drafted, the Celtics offered 4 first-round draft choices, and only now he is starting to see that maybe Devin Booker, you know, lasting longer than he did, wasn't such a mistake by the Heat.
Hey, I got a lot of heat because I thought he was going to be really good, and I thought maybe I blew it on him, but now he's starting to play well. You know.
22 years old. People forget that. He's 22. He turned 22 last summer. Now the question will be, when Goran Dragic comes back from his knee surgery, where does he fit in? I think he's another guy who could be on the table, maybe even by the trading deadline next Thursday. Next Thursday, February 7th, 3 p.m. Eastern, it's going to be fascinating.
We'll have you on before then. Thanks very much.
and listen to the app. Thanks, buddy.
That's it. Thank you, Ira. You see Ira on the app. On the app, you will hear him and see him there all the time. Ira's good at plugging. He is, absolutely. And he will be on there not twice a week, three times a week. You get Ira Windeman on his NBA stuff on the Mics On app. Absolutely. And he's doing a very good job there. And he'll be there right through the NBA Finals.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.